Verse 1, and when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleaned, or cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with the fever. And so he touched her, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with the word, and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have the printed word to reference to whenever we desire. And so we lift up our hearts to you, Lord. We lift up your teachings to us. We pray for the Holy Spirit, Father, who guides us and leads us and teaches us. We look to you, Lord God, to minister to us, to correct us, to encourage us. We pray for understanding this morning, Lord. We pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts individually and corporately, Lord. May you help us to hear you, Lord. And I pray this morning that we would even now, if we are still hanging on to some care, some worry that is distracting us, that you help us to cast that upon you now, Lord. We need to hear from you, Father, from the Holy Spirit. And so we lift up this service. We lift up what you want to say to the church, Lord. And we pray for your blessings, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you can see, Jesus has come down from the mountain. Chapters 5, 6, and 7, again, was the Sermon on the Mount, or what we call the Beatitudes, and we had a lot of instruction by Jesus. Again, it was speaking to the disciples. As we know, that is for the church, not just for anyone who wants to. This is actually a teaching for the church. And now he comes down the mountain, and we will see Jesus in chapters 8 and 9 actually do 10 different types of healing throughout this next two chapters. And we're going to see the power of Jesus as he begins to touch people. And so what we learn from this is that there is instruction that Jesus had given his disciples. Then from instruction, he comes down to the floor. Remember, he's up on a mountain. He comes down. The Sea of Galilee is here. And now he's at the bottom of the base of the sea. And he's walking through by Capernaum somewhere, because we know he was in Capernaum eventually. So somewhere there, as he's walking, this multitude is following him. And as he's there, and as he's walking, and as these people are following him, we see that it said in verse 1, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes follow him. So we see that. And then behold, it says, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, make me clean. And it's interesting, as we get into these first three healings, or a cleansing and two healings, that we're going to watch Jesus touch people and change their lives. And one of the things that's interesting about these first three people is that you have a leper who was considered the outcast of Israel. Lepers were not allowed to be around people. They would have to cry out, leprosy, leprosy, whenever people approached. And they said as much as 100 feet away, if they saw them, they would have to cry this out because they couldn't be around people. They weren't allowed to be near people. Then we have the second person as we come into this story. We'll see a Gentile come to Jesus, and Gentiles were considered outcasts of the covenant. They had no right being around Jesus. And then thirdly, of course, we will see a woman that is going to be healed, and women were looked down upon in Israel, especially with the Pharisees. In fact, they say that the Pharisees used to say, man, I'm so glad I'm a Jew and not a Gentile. I'm so glad I'm a man and not a woman. I'm so glad I'm free and not a slave. That's how much they look down on all three of these first three people that we're going to see. And what we know about this portion of Matthew's 8 and 9 is that these verses are not in chronological orders. These healings happened during some course as they were here. Of course, we have the writers presenting what they see, and Matthew's gospel is a gospel to the Jews. And so we're going to take the lessons that the Lord gives us about how he touches people. And one thing I was thinking about when I was reading this and meditating and looking at these verses is that here we had the Pharisees and most Jews who looked down on women, Gentiles, and the outcasts. And yet Jesus never does. Jesus doesn't pick and choose who he's going to love or care for, or who he's going to exclude. He will touch anyone who is willing to come to him. And these three healings and cleansing here show us that. He's not a respecter of person. And I like what Matthew 11:28 said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I've always looked at all you. In other words, anyone. It makes no difference who you are, where your background is, where you've come from. You just come to him. He says, you come to me if you're heavy laden, if everything's heavy upon your life and things are going. And this has the idea more of a religious ceremony. If you're trying to be the Christian, if you're trying to be religious, he says, if you're tired of all that, if this is weighing on you, he says, come to me. Come to me and I will give you rest, he says. He says, and I will give you rest. And you know, this song, I wrote it on my hand so I don't forget it. My soul will rest in you. And I was thinking, how sweet that is when we can really let that apply in our hearts, man. It can be tough sometimes to just trust God. Sometimes we want to grab the burdens and worry about the things that are in our lives, and we don't have that rest all the time. But if we, and why is that? It's because we're forgetting who Jesus is. We're forgetting with the power of what he can do. And then when we focus back and we say, man, Lord, I just need to trust you with this. I need to trust you with that. All of a sudden, those burdens will lift, won't they? We're the ones that make it more difficult. And I was sitting there as they were singing, thinking, Lord, how we need your help just to release and just to trust you and to believe that you can do the things you say you can do, and help us to focus in that. So as I'm reading these verses, and I'm thinking, you know what, Jesus will exclude no one. And something I want you to understand about these next verses we're going to read, and really all of chapter 8 and 9, is everyone came to Jesus for healing. They sought him out to be touched. So when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. So we have a leper who comes, and the interesting part about this leper is that he had no business being around no one, and yet he still went to the Messiah. He knew Jesus was a healer, and he broke the laws of being around the people, and he got close enough that, I mean, people could hear him, especially Jesus. But what we see here is that this leper who shouldn't be around anyone, And I was looking at these verses of leprosy. There's 28 verses in the Bible of leprosy. The majority of them are in Leviticus 13 and 14 about the cleansing and the washing and all the stuff that pertains to that. In fact, we only see one or two verses in all Scripture where a leper actually got healed. So if you really take this and we look at this and we look at it just from the perspective of the Bible, healing for leprosy was very rare. Distinguishing leprosy was easy. The priest would come, they would figure it out, they'd see the sores, they'd see the, you know, the stuff in the body that's happening. When it was very extreme, you know, fingers and toes would be lost and boils and all this stuff. I mean, they could identify it, and then they would say, you know what, you got to go out. And think about a leopard here for a minute. Once a leopard was identified as a leopard, he was cast out of society. No longer could he touch another person, talk to another person other than another leopard. You know, we look at the movies of Ben-Hur, you know, when he went in there and all those leopards were in that colony down below, and they were, you know, all covered up, and we think of what they looked like and all this stuff. But, you know, they couldn't be around their family. If they were grandparents, they couldn't be around their grandchildren or their children, their brothers or their sisters anymore. They were isolated, left to themselves for the most part. And yet this leopard comes up who's like this, who's got the boils, got the marking on his body, and he comes and he says, Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me. You know, when I was sick last week, I was lying in bed shaking. I had the chills. And I, you know, I had this ready for this sermon, praying I could make it on Sunday morning. I didn't want to call Tony Saturday night at whatever time it was, 5 or 6 o'clock. I heard Tony didn't even want to call me back. He was like, uh-oh, what's going on? I don't even know the whole story about whether he thought he was in trouble or he knew he was going to have to do a study late. You know, I just heard someone told me he didn't want to call you back, man. And yet I knew I had to get back up. But I laid there and saying, Lord, if you are willing, I know you can heal me of this right now. And unlike the leopard, God wasn't willing to heal me at that time. So when I got up in the morning, I said, you know, I'm not going in. Tony's, I hope he got his study done. I'm praying for him that he got his, and I heard it was a great study. People got touched. The worship was great. I thought, man, maybe I should just stay away. You know? The worship was better. The study was better. I'm like, now I know what my pastor Steve used to feel when he used to be gone, because the church would grow. The tithings would go up. And he would, so he'd take off every now and then. You know, he'd come back and the church was always bigger, you know? So it's like, man, Lord, you know? But if you're willing. And here's a key about this, and you need to understand this from the beginning. In these portions of Scripture, Jesus healed everyone. And this we know just from reading. After his crucifixion, not everyone got healed. Paul is a prime example of that. Paul came later, after the crucifixion. So you have before the cross, and you have after the cross. Before the cross, of course, Isaiah and the other prophecy that speak about the Messiah coming and how it would prove who he is. And one of those proofs was he would heal people. Not just one or two. I mean, he would heal people. So we have a lot of healing in Scripture up into the cross. Then after the cross, we don't see as many healing. And it's not that Jesus can't heal. I totally believe Jesus can heal today. So I don't want you thinking I'm anti-healing. I totally believe Jesus can heal today. I just don't think we can claim healing today. I don't think we have that assurance of, you know what, I claim this healing and this is the way it's going to... It doesn't work that way. I think this first verse really puts it in perspective. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And it's, again, it's a guy in desperate need to be around his family again, to be around people again, and to be healed, asking, begging, pleading with Jesus, man, if you are willing, you can heal me. And then we have Jesus responding, I am willing. And those had to be precious, precious words. I think this leopard, he hung on to those words. Man, he is. And as we read this and we read the other Gospels and we read Mark and Luke Mark and what he has to say about this, it actually says that in Mark's Gospel that the leopard begged him to cleanse him. He begged Jesus. It wasn't just like, Lord, if you're willing, can you heal me? I mean, no, he probably got on his knees and he pleaded for mercy. And sometimes that's the way healing comes. It's not as simple as just saying a few words. And honestly, not that Jesus can't do that. I've seen him do that. But I think more it's about the heart. And where is the heart? And sometimes that bowing shows you that you're humbled. It's not about you. It's about him. And pleading for him. And begging him. And that's what this leper did according to Mark's Gospel. And he says that the Lord healed him. Does he heal all lepers? No, he healed this one guy, that's for sure. This guy was restored, able to go back to his family, able to be around people again. And, you know, Jesus told him, go show yourselves to the priests and offer the sacrifice of Moses against. Read in Leviticus 13:14, you'll see the things he had to do with the washing and the bathing and all the proofs of this. And I'm thinking, even these priests, they had no idea. I mean, when was the last time they washed somebody for leprosy? According to Scripture, it hadn't been done in like hundreds of years. They could identify leprosy, but now Jesus says, hey, go offer them. They probably had to go back in the books and take a look. Man, how do you do this? We haven't, you know, practiced this in a long time. It's like when I did my first wedding. How do you do that? Well, you should know, you've been to a lot of weddings. Yeah, I've been out there looking in. I've never had to be up here looking down. It's a whole different thing. You have to study about it, learn about it. What do these words mean? And, you know, it puts on a whole new perspective. I can imagine the priest after, let's say, 400 years since the last healing of leprosy. Miriam, remember? Miriam was healed. And that was a thousand years before, man. And here Jesus tells him. Then the other thing he says, don't tell no one. What's the first thing he did? I'm healed, man. He told everyone. You know, sometimes Jesus might tell you, keep quiet, and what do? We just blab it. You know, we don't really follow that too much. We're excited. We want to be able to tell people that we've been touched or healed or something. And here's this guy, and he's back in touch with his family. Make me clean. The other thing I want you to notice is that it said immediately his leprosy left him. Now this guy wasn't healed. The Bible says here he was cleansed. This was a disease that came upon him, and it wasn't that he needed healing, he needed cleansing according to the law. And this leper comes, and we're told that when once Jesus said, I'm willing. Now Jesus could have spoke a word. Jesus could have, you know, said something. But the interesting thing is, here's this leper that no one can touch, right? What does the Bible say he did? He reached out his hand and he touched him. Totally against the law and everything. And Jesus touched him. Now, how many of you have been touched by Jesus? You know what this is talking about. Because see, it's one thing for somebody to say something. It's a total different thing for somebody to actually embrace you and touch you and accept you exactly the way you are. And some of us come from some shady backgrounds, and we know what it feels like to be touched. I mean, I share my testimony a little bit. It's depressing. It's discouraging to know you're a drug addict and people are looking at you that way, and they look down on you. And yet when Jesus comes in touch, he grabs you and he touches you, and he makes you feel like a million bucks, man. Because society makes you feel like trash. And even sometimes the people in the church can make you feel bad. And yet Jesus, he'll grab you and he'll embrace you and he'll lift you up. Like the psalmist says, he pulled me out of the miry clay. And he'll get you and he'll embrace you and and make you sparkle again, make you feel like you're worth everything and that society thinks you're not worth of, just because he touched you. This guy, I could imagine with this, you know, cloth over and the scarf and just covering his face and his boils and all, and then Jesus touched him and immediately everything became normal. That is so awesome, man. It's awesome to experience that. And you know, I have a few verses because I've done this before about immediately. Matthew chapter 20, verse 34, Jesus healed two men and gave them their sight. It said immediately. Immediately when Jesus touched them, the blind received their sight. In Mark 5:29, there was a woman that had a flow of blood for 12 years, it said. For 12 years, she had this blood coming out of her body. And when she touched the garment of Jesus, it said immediately her blood flow stopped. She no longer had this problem of bleeding. Immediately. And then in Mark 5:42, it talks about the girl that was dead, and Jesus went in and touched her, and immediately she was awakened and brought back to life. And then again in Mark 7:35, it talked about another blind man, guy who was deaf, and his ears were open immediately. And in fact, most of the verses that we're going to read about Jesus healing, it's immediately healing took place. There's only one that we'll read about the centurion. It says within the hour. And part of that is because Jesus spoke it. The servant was somewhere else, and they knew it was about the same time. It could have been right when he said it. They just know within that hour sometime. That's the only other place in Scripture you find that there was sort of a delay, but it happened right away. And I've come to learn that, you know, especially when I first got saved, and, you know, you get your hands laid on, and don't worry, it'll come later. And you kind of believe that. I remember when I first got saved, being blind in my right eye, and they were laying hands and putting oil, and they said, it'll come, just have faith, brother, just have faith and it'll come. And I'm expecting for my eye to go, boop, you know, and I could see everything, well, whatever, 20/20. It never came, very disappointed. Because this teaching was about later, your faith. And none of that was really true. There's some truth to it, but it wasn't true. And then as I began to study and learn about healing, I mean, they were coming up to me telling me they saw my dad in a vision running across the aisles, and I was in the Pentecostal church at the time, and they were running across the aisle, and he was doing the hallelujah because he had been delivered from, you know, he was 20, 30-year drug addict, man, and they saw this, and of course I wanted hope. You know, I grew up like a lot of you in a bad home. When your father's in and out of prison all your life, it's not a good thing. So I was believing these people that were telling me this stuff, but nothing happened. So of course you get let down, and especially if you're a brand new Christian within, you know, a couple of years, and you don't see these things happening that people are claiming, you're wondering why. And then these verses say, no, immediately it happened. Jesus touched, it happened. And I begin to rely on Scripture, not what people say. And people come up to me and they would say things about different people in my family. And honestly, I don't listen no more. I let it go in this ear and I let it go out the other ear. I don't rebuke them. I don't say nothing. I just say, Lord, I know they mean well, but your word does not say that. Your word says, when you touch, you touch. When you heal, you heal. So, what do we learn? Here, there's a guy Jesus touched, and immediately it happened. Again, does everyone get healed after? No, Paul did not get healed. There are other cases of people not being healed. But this guy did, because he came and he begged and he pleaded and he asked Jesus to touch his life. And, you know, maybe that's us. Maybe that's our children. Maybe that's some relative or a friend at work, and they're looking to stop whatever it is they got. Now, leprosy was very severe. It was terminal. I mean, there are people out there that are going through some heavy stuff, and the best we can offer them is to find peace with Jesus and then ask them to plead with him for help. And if he's willing, he will touch them. And if he's not, then he won't. They have to be ready. The bottom line is, our souls is what's more important than our physical healing. See, I learned that with my eye. I don't need my eye to be saved. You know what I'm saying? I don't need two eyes that can see clearly to be saved. But I must be saved to be saved. It's like Don McClure said, if God wants to take me piece at a time, that's fine with him. You know, you lose your eye, you lose your finger, you lose your toe, whatever. If God wants to take you a little at a time, it's okay, because he knows where he's going. And I realize that in my own life, and I see this leper, and he's crying out, and eventually he comes to know the Lord. But we see that here he is, and he's being healed, and he come. But then we learn something in the next verses, that sometime God touches on the behalf of someone else's belief. Notice verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him. Same thing, pleading, begging. Saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. It means he was near death. He was very, very sick. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. So the Jews didn't believe the way this Gentile believed. And he said, I say to you that many will come from east and west. East and west is speaking about the Gentile nations that are from the east and the west of Israel. And he says, many will come and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing or gashing of teeth. And in other words, even the lost of Israel will be sent into outer darkness, what we know as eternal punishment. And then he goes on and says, but the sons of the kingdom, then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. So verse 6, we see a paralyzed guy. Paralyzed, he's in torment. He's basically at the place of death. And the second thing we see in verse 8 is that it was a centurion, which is a Roman officer of 100 soldiers, who came and presented and talked to Jesus about what was going on with this guy. He's the one that came asking help for someone else. It wasn't the guy sick. It was the other person. And you know, and I didn't think about it till we were sitting there and the worship team was singing regarding my father. One year, Diane and I went to pick him up from Chino State Prison as he was being released after doing 2 years there. And when we got him, he came out and he had this little paper. And it was a song that said, Somebody Believed. And he was sharing with us in the car when we were driving home as we were picking him up with me and Diane. And he was crying because when he was at a worship service in jail, they were singing this song about Somebody Believed. And he was attributing that song at the time to me and Diane because we believed he would be healed one day, that he would be set free from the addictions of heroin and the drugs that he was under. And so he was crying because he knew everybody had given up except for us. We were the only ones praying. Everyone else, you know, he's in hell and he needs to go there. And my dad being a bad man, a lot of people thought that's where he needs to go. And yet, we knew enough because of me being healed and the way I was healed that God is not a respecter of person. He'll touch the very unlovable in spite of them. And so we had learned about, you know, what they call standing in the gap, as this soldier is doing. And I remember when I first heard that, what is that, standing in the gap? And it's believing for someone else. They can't, but you can. And so we did that, and my dad, you know, showed us this song, and he was reading it to us, and we were like, whoa, man, it was awesome. And I didn't think about it until this morning when I was sitting there because of this story right here. And here's this centurion who believes, And Jesus says to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. So this other guy, the centurion, believed, and this is why this servant of his was healed, which was unheard of. A Roman soldier coming to believe for someone else. And yet, this soldier had enough faith to believe that. And in verse 10, it says that the Roman soldier had more faith than the Jews at that time, who were the ones studying the Torah, who were the ones practicing the religious system. And yet, here's this Roman soldier who came from Rome as part of the dominant force of the Jewish people. He's there, and he believes because of what he's heard. Now, if you go back to, again, to the Gospel of Mark and Luke, or Luke at least, chapter 7, verse 1 through 10, you actually find out that this writing of this centurion, it wasn't him personally speaking to Jesus. He actually sent a servant to speak to Jesus concerning his other servant that was dying. And, you know, I think it's easier to have faith when you see something being done. If we had a healing service, you know, we did that stuff, and we touched somebody and they were, you know, healed. I mean, you knew they were healed. You could go and believe and tell people and you would be convinced. But how do you do that if I touch her, she believes it, and she tells her boss, and her boss says, man, I believe that, and he sends a servant to heal this other servant. He never saw the healing. He just heard it from her, and then he believed. He believed so much that this other servant got healed. That, to me, is almost impossible. How does someone who's never even seen the healing believe in healing? That's what this soldier did. That's why Jesus said he was astonished that this guy had such faith. Now, that's based upon Luke chapter 7. Read it. The centurion never talked to Jesus. He sent a servant to talk to Jesus. I think that's amazing that on behalf of some other, he went to have this guy touched. And his belief and his understanding of who Jesus was all he needed. And he based it upon his role as an officer in the Roman army. That's what he said. Hey, I'm a man under authority. I know what it's like to give orders. I know I say to this one, do this, and he does it. I say to this one, go over there, and he'll go over there. I understand the chain of command, is what he's saying. And I know that if me being a Roman soldier of 100 and there are people over me and I'm a lesser guy, I have this kind of power, then I know your power. And your power is beyond my power. Your power is in the atmosphere. It's over sickness and death. It's over things that really matter. And he says, I understand that. And he's, what he's saying is I'm calling you on that. Your power could heal this guy if you so desire. You're not even worthy to come to my house. Just speak these words, he says, and my servant will be healed. I mean, he believed with his heart. It wasn't a wishful, I hope. I mean, he believed it because he understood who he was and his authority. And Jesus said, yeah, I've never seen that kind of faith in all Israel. As you have believed, so it will be done. And I look at our lives, and of course we're praying for our sons and our daughters and our husbands and our mothers and our wives and, you know, people that need help. And I look at this and I think, Lord, help me to have so much trust. Lord, help me understand who I am. Help me to know who I am, like this centurion knew, so that I can believe, because I know who I am, to trust you to touch that my son, my daughter, my mother, my father, whoever it is that needs help right now. To have that kind of faith to change someone's life, that they would be delivered. And why? Because he knew and understood the power of Jesus. Not his power, Jesus' power. Mark chapter 2, verse 10 says this. but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And immediately he rose, took up his bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. I mean, when was the last time we saw Jesus touch someone and say, I've never seen anything like that? I mean, really, when was the last time we saw that? Personally, I like to see more of that. I like to see us so believing in Jesus and trusting in Jesus that we see people's lives changed and healed and delivered, that we go, whoa, man, that just blows my mind. That's a total trip. How did that happen? It was the power of Jesus. He said, this Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, to overcome every hindrance and obstacle in man's life. He has the power to do this. See, this Roman soldier understood this power in Jesus. And that's what we need, is to understand the power of Jesus. Not our, what we think is our power or our belief or our understanding. It's understanding who he is, not who we are, in the sense of he's got the power, man. He's the one that touches lives. He's the one that delivers people. He's the one that brings forgiveness to people. He's the one that changes lives. That's why we read the scripture about no man can take the glory away from God. It all belongs to him. Someone touches you and you get healed, you give God the glory. You thank the person for being obedient, but it's God who gets the glory, not man or woman. And immediately Jesus healed this guy. Then we move on, verse 14. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and he arose, and she arose and served them. Here, Peter, again, this is just for your information. We know Peter, as a disciple and apostle, was married. You know, the some of the churches believe that a minister cannot be married. This goes against it. Peter had a mother-in-law. To have a mother-in-law, you got to have a wife, right? Just makes sense. It's very simple. In 1 Corinthians 9:5, we're told, do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Just reference of, there's nothing wrong with being married and being in ministry, especially if it's a priest or a pastor or whatever title you want to give them. And what do we see here with this mother-in-law who is sick? And we think, well, she was just sick. She had a fever. She had a cold. It's really a nothing thing. But if you follow the verses that follow and you realize what Jesus did, it wasn't that he healed a nothing, that he touched a woman. Because women were looked down upon at that time. In fact, there are women still today, men that look down on women today. And Jesus was showing, no, they're not nothing. They are worth value. It's well been said, Jesus is the first guy to lift women up and put them back into the status that they're supposed to be equal with men. The value is the same, not less. And Jesus touches this woman with his hand and he heals her. And what does it say that she does, the mother-in-law? She arose and got up and served them. In other words, she cooked a meal and was the hostess that she was normally accustomed to do. She provided for them and served them and began to provide food and nourishment for them. And then it says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. You know, I think about, here's the crowd. They've been watching Jesus. We don't know if these incidents were one following another or not. Like I said, they're not in chronological order. But here we know evening had come from the time of the mother-in-law being healed. And I just wondered if because of even this sickness, everybody heard about Jesus touching this woman and her getting healed. They began to bring everybody to him. And it says here that they had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with just a word, and he healed all who were sick. All. In other words, everyone who came to him, Jesus touched and healed. There wasn't anyone who didn't come that he didn't heal, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." Now, this again is quoting Isaiah 53:4. Not 5, where by his stripes I am healed. It's not talking about that. It's talking about verse 4 that says, "Surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows." And when did Jesus do this? In his earthly ministry. Not at the cross, because all these healings took place before the cross. Before the cross, he was touching and healing people. This is when things began to happen and lives were being changed. Matthew 4:23, we read a few weeks ago, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sicknesses," excuse me, "and all kinds of diseases among the people." Before the Sermon on the Mount, he was touching people, changing lives. After the Sermon on the Mount, he goes about and he's touching people. And many came, it says, and he healed all of them while on earth. Not at the cross, before the cross. And what's the point of that? The point is that you cannot claim healing at the cross. It came before. The cross was for the punishment or the deliverance of sin in man's life that separates him from God for all eternity. That's the difference. So that's why you cannot claim healing that Jesus did it at the cross. No, he did it before. And he touched all that came to him. But we know afterwards, Paul didn't get touched. We know there were others that didn't get touched. So you can't claim healing. But see, at the cross, you can claim salvation, because Jesus died for salvation. And in fact, he is obligated to save all who come to him for forgiveness of sin. He's obligated, because that's what he died for. So when I look at these verses and I see what they say, it just that reminder again of, you know what? I might be sick, but am I saved? Which is the important one? Being saved is much more important than being healed. Now, being healed, it was to prove who he was. It showed what Isaiah said, he bore, he brought, he came, he touched. And that definitely happened. But the cross, man, that's the place where he paid the ultimate sacrifice of his life to forgive our sins, to renew us back into a relationship with God. You know? And you might be sick, and you might be terminal. I like what David Hawkins said. It'd be a shame to die of nothing. You know? Sickness might be the way to get you to where you got to go, because you've already made peace with God at the cross. The cross is the most important thing. Does Jesus heal today? I totally believe he heals today. I think he still wants to heal people today. But I take you back to verse 2. "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." It's left in his hands, not my demands, in his hands. Our plea should be, "Lord, if you can heal me, heal me." And there's some things that we need help with. Physical healings, that'll come and go. Sinful healings, those have to be dealt with. Jesus don't want us in sin that separates us from God. He'll desire to heal those things. Physical healing, guess what? You might get healed, but you're going to die again later or something else anyways. You know? We don't live forever, man. It just doesn't happen. Everyone dies except the rapture. Everyone will die. So, I just leave you this morning. If you're sick, we want to pray for you. Not that we have the power, we just believe Jesus will touch whoever he desires. But if you're not saved, man, this is most important. Today is a great day to give your heart to Jesus and to surrender to him and allow him to be Lord of your life, because ultimately, that's what's important. Where are you headed to? Where are you going when this life is over? Whether you die of sickness or you just die because you're so healthy, you die from health, man. You know, Jesus wants to touch our lives. Amen? Amen. Father, we do come before you. We do know that everlasting life is what you died for. We do know that you healed even through these verses, Lord. So I lift this up to you, Lord. And I pray right now, even with everyone here right now, if you need healing, and it makes no difference what it's for, I'm asking you by faith to stand before God. I'm asking you to stand before God and in your heart's mind, just say your prayer before him of what it is you need a touch from. And Lord, we pray that you would touch our lives. We pray that there is, if you are willing for whatever it is we're going through, Lord, whether it's addictions or physical healing or in our marriages or whatever, we ask you to touch us, God. We ask you to pour your power on our lives and deliver us, and or maybe it's cleansing we need, Lord. We ask you to cleanse us, Lord. We pray, Father God, that we understand who you are and the power that you have. The power of the Holy Spirit working through the lives of individuals that need you, Lord. But we offer up our hearts and souls to you at the cross of Jesus, Lord, which is what he came for and died for, Lord. That we as humans can have peace with you, Lord. And that our souls can be at rest with you, Lord. So we lift up our hearts to you, Father. We lift up our lives, our commitments. We pray that you would help us, Father God, and you would draw us and strengthen us into that relationship with you, Lord. That we would hunger and thirst for your righteousness, Father. That your word would speak to our hearts and guide us and lead us, Lord. And so we pray for the radio stations we listen to, for the TV stations we listen to, for anyone that teaches, Lord, whatever method that might be. We pray you give us discernment in the things we're hearing. We ask you that the Holy Spirit would draw us and lead us into truth and help us to recognize and discern false teaching from your righteous teaching, Lord. In essence, Lord, we need to hear your voice speak through whoever it is we're listening to. We need to hear the words of the Scripture ring loud and true in our hearts, Lord. So we thank you for this study, Father. We thank you that we know you can heal if you so desire. But we also know, Lord, you desire that all men would be saved, that none would be lost. And I pray this morning that not one person who's here will walk away without knowing you, Lord. So may you speak to their hearts, Father. May you show them who you are, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's rise, if you would.